Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
We dare not use his word, a little sprinkling of the Bible here, a little verse there, so that we can present what we want to say to our generation. We cannot use God's word to preach our message. God's word has to use us to preach its message. That's our job.
Welcome to Focal Point. I'm your host, Dave Drewy. And today we've got a special treat for you. We're going to listen in on a message Pastor Mike Fabares had the privilege of sharing with the students and faculty of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago during their annual Founders Week celebration. His subject? The Inspired Word of God. Now, whether you're preaching to thousands or sharing your faith with your neighbor, it's essential that we speak the full truth of Scripture without watering it down. Well, now here's Pastor Mike.
Well, yes, I am from California. It's great to be back at Moody. It's great to be here for Founders Week. I love coming back, but after your weather last week, I'll bet you get tired of speakers flying in and saying, you know, I bring you greetings from warm, sunny California. I mean, you hate it when they get up here and say, it's so good to be here from balmy, don't need a jacket, Orange County. I just want to tell you, I would never do that. I would never get up here and do that. I love Chicago. I love Chicago in May and September. I love Chicago. It is the place to be. Hashtag sarcasm. I just want you to know that I will admit, as a thin-skinned Californian, I mean, I'm glad you didn't have last week's weather this week, and it looks like where you're going next week. I'm glad that God carved out a nice little week here for me. That's helpful. I will admit that I'm a thin-skinned left coast pastor who struggles with cold weather. When I was here, I certainly struggled with it. But let me tell you, I'm here tonight to remind you that the 21st century in America is certainly not the season, it seems, for Bible-believing Christians, thin-skinned Bible-believing Christians. That can be a problem. Those evangelical types that believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that's really not the season, it seems, for us. I mean, if you're concerned about the cultural temperature, unless you've got your head in the sand, you know this is a time where we are, I mean, we're getting a lot coming our direction. But like an old-time Chicago resident, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ would tell us to man up, get your coat out, get ready, because you're going to have to get through this storm. It was on the forecast. He told us it was coming, and it's now here. For us, it's here. And it's time for us to man up. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, which I hope everyone in this room does, I mean, you cannot give any deference to King Jesus and not recognize his high view of Scripture. He said there's not one jot, not one tittle, not one little serif or yod in the Old Testament law that will pass away without every single part of it being accomplished. Jesus Christ believed in the inerrancy, the infallibility, the inspiration of God's word. And then he went on to say, you know what? Not only will heaven and earth not pass away until every piece of the law of the Old Testament be fulfilled, he went on to say, heaven and earth won't pass away without every single one of my words remaining. I mean, the sign up here over my shoulder, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, you recognize that his view of Scripture is codified for us in the pages of the Bible. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to us in a day when it's not popular to say it. We are evangelical, Bible-believing Christians. We believe that this book, it is not man's best thoughts about God. These are God's thoughts on paper. And if you're not convinced of that yet, that's what this week is all about. You need to get ready to stand up, whether it's in season or out of season. Take your Bibles tonight, if you haven't already, and turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the verse that really is the theme for our title this week, the inspired word
I mean, this really in chapter 3 is where it comes. It comes down to this word that was breathed out by God, as though every sentence in this book, God said himself. And look what it says there in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3. It's breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching. You can instruct people in this book. For reproof, do you know that word, reproof? You probably didn't use it much in conversation this week, but that is that authoritative statement that you are doing the wrong thing. This is not right. That's reproof. And then this next word, correction. Here's the right path. Authoritatively telling you, this is the path that you are to walk in. And for training in righteousness, that authoritative preparation that we need to live this life that is well-pleasing to the Lord. The God-breathed word, it is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. I keep using the word authoritative because if God has spoken, and God is God, this book is everything. Your view of Scripture and my view of Scripture, everything hangs on that. I need to say that loudly and clearly in the 21st century in America. Your view of Scripture, everything hangs on that. Everything. You give that up, we've given it all up. If you do not believe this is the authoritative word of God, once for all delivered to the saints, it's here, God's thoughts on paper, then we're in big, big trouble. God's word. That's what Moody Bible Institute was founded upon, the truth of God's word. I use the word authoritative. Have you ever thought about that word, authoritative? Look at the first letters in that word. Think of that through. Authoritative, author. That's what the word means. It's authoritative because there's an author that's important, and there's no more important author than God himself. If he has written this book, if he has utilized the personalities and writing styles of prophets and apostles and put his word on paper, his thoughts on paper, there's no greater author than that. And there's no greater authority than this book that you have there in ones and zeros on your phone, on your iPad, this printed Bible that you have draped across your lap. Nothing is more authoritative than the words and sentences in that book. I'd like to preach from the next few verses here that begin chapter 4. Would you look at this passage with me? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. And you want a prelude that's going to talk about authority? Here it is. I charge you. This is the Apostle Paul. You know this. To Timothy, who had a penchant for being a little bit too timid when he needed to be bold. And the Apostle Paul had to say in the last extant letter we have from the Apostle, listen, I charge you. In the presence of God, God's listening. He knows what I'm saying to you now, Timothy, and of Christ Jesus. And let's just be really clear about this, Timothy. He is to judge the living, Christians, and the dead. Even the non-Christians. There's a Bema Seat judgment. There's a Great White Throne judgment. Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead. And by the way, he's coming. And by his appearing and his kingdom. And when he comes, he will take his power, begin to reign. The kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And his word will rule. He's in charge. Now you want an authoritative introduction. That's it. Hey, Timothy, in the presence of God and Christ, here's your command. Preach the word, verse 2. Preach it. Preach the word. You say, Pastor Mike, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a normal person. I'm a Christian. I do my thing, whatever. This is not just to preachers, you understand. This word, caruso, to herald, the word we translate preach. We preach a word, a message, a body, a corpus of information from God. And if you really drop down to where this is headed here, he says in verse 5, we're to be evangelist, and this is not just about being an expositor or a shepherd of a church. This is about us taking a message that God has given to mankind and heralding that, giving that, presenting that, proclaiming that. And you may exempt yourself when you hear these words, preach the word, but I bet you don't when you hear the words, you are ambassadors of Christ. You represent the King. If you don't represent the King in our generation, who does? We are his ambassadors. And the good news of Christ needs to be unabashedly shared. As a matter of fact, he says, you need to be ready to share that. Preach the word, verse 2, in season and out of season. Be ready, whether it's a good time and everyone applauds you, and it might have been that way in our great-grandparents' day, even my grandparents. I think about them preaching the word, talking about the gospel. People nodded when he talked about the fact that there is a book, and it's God's word, and you know there's a God, and he's going to judge the world, and oh, I'm not saying our culture was Christianized, but I'm certainly saying it was much more amenable. It was much more friendly. It was a lot less hostile for my grandparents and even my parents. But whether it's in season or whether it's out of season, when they want to pick up rocks and throw them at you, he says, preach it. Preach the word. Share it. Declare it. Matter of fact, here's some words for you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Not asking us to be rude. He's not asking us to be mean. He's not asking us to be narrow-minded, any more narrow than the Bible itself, that we have a message and it's good news, but it's not good news for good people, is it? It's good news for sinners. We cannot share the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a culture without beginning where Jesus always begins, and that is, we've got a problem. I hope it was, if you grew up in church, one of the first verses you ever memorized. Right? You understand all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news starts with the bad news that we've got a problem that God has graciously solved for us in Christ. But you better be ready to share that and reprove and rebuke and exhort. And you got to do that with a lot of long-suffering, with a lot of patience. You got to have a lot of perseverance and stick-to-itiveness. You've got to completely be patient and teach line by line, concept by concept, truth by truth. Why? Verse 3, because the time is coming. And by the way, it's here, is it not? When people will not endure sound teaching, they won't like it. But having their itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth. They will wander off into myths. But as for you, Timothy, you've got to always be sober-minded. Wake up. Endure suffering, even if it's hard. Do the work of an evangelist. You've got a good news message for a culture that needs it. You got to fulfill your ministry. You got a job. You've got to fulfill it. Just real quickly, four quick observations from these five verses. Look at verse number 1. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. You need to remember, in the 21st century, no matter how chilly it gets, when it comes to our view of what God has said and understanding that he has clearly spoken, we need to remember who we represent. Remember who you represent. We are representing the Lord Jesus Christ to our generation. And you and I have a job to do. And you need to do that job in light of your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. John was really close to Jesus, right? He liked to call himself the disciple that Jesus loved. You can picture them in those scenes if you rightly understand how they used to recline at the table. And even John seemed to always be the guy who was just right next to Christ. I mean, think about someone who had a loving, kind friendship with Jesus. It's John the Apostle. And yet when Jesus shows up on the island of Patmos in the last book of the New Testament, Jesus comes and he's revealed to John as the glorified Christ that is now reigning and ruling in heaven. And he comes, and listen to this, it's like his eyes are like flames of fire. His hair is white like wool. He's got feet that are burnished bronze. When he speaks, it's like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he holds these seven stars, and out of his mouth comes a sharp, two-edged sword. His face is shining like the sun in full strength. And when John saw him, here's what Revelation 1:17 says. He got up, gave him a high five, and hugged him and said, "Yo, Jesus, what's up?" That's not what our Bible says. John fell at his feet as though dead. Do you think of Christ the way you ought to? And when Jesus showed up to John and said, "Hey, I've got a message for you." That's what the book is entitled, Revelation. The revelation of Jesus. Here it is. I got a message for you. Do you remember, just run your mind through the whole book, starting in chapter 1, and let's go to the last chapter. At the end, getting this message from Jesus, here's how he ends this book. These aren't red letters. These are John's words. Revelation 22:18. "I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy. Don't let anybody add to them. Don't let anybody take away from them." Jesus, good pals and buddies with John, he says, "Jesus gave me a message and I'm giving it to you, and you can't add from it and you can't subtract from it." In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom, he's given us a message, an authoritative message. You know, you and I are going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hear songs or we think through what people write on their blogs, or we kind of imagine the scene. And I mean, frankly, even we Christians get a little sentimental about Jesus and how we're going to meet him. And I'm just telling you, we've got to be ready. He loves us. Yes. He laid down his life for us. No greater love is anyone than that. Yes. But Jesus Christ is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's going to come back and say, what did you do with my word? What did you do with this book? Were you afraid of it? Did you not present it to your generation? Did you not have the same view of Scripture that I had? Did you not say to the world, have you not read? Have you not read? Scripture cannot be broken. Not a single letter of this book is going to pass away. You can't change it. You can't edit it. Preach it in season or out of season. I don't care how hard it is. You preach the word. And you don't have to be a preacher to preach the word. You just have to be a Christian in our generation, an ambassador of Christ. You represent the King. We cannot edit his message. And that's the next thing I want to say. Verse number two, you can't edit it. You can't change it. You've got to present it. And if it calls out someone in their sin, you have to do that. If it corrects them, if it rebukes them, if it's there to encourage them, bring the whole message. You cannot edit the message of Christ. We dare not use his word, a little sprinkling of the Bible here, a little verse there, so that we can present what we want to say to our generation. We cannot use God's word to preach our message. God's word has to use us to preach its message. That's our job. And God's got something to say to our generation. And it's not, you guys are great, I really think you're keen, and I just hope you have a great life, and if I can improve it, I'm here. You know, if we were living just before the flood, and there was a big barge out back, and we knew the flood was coming, which, by the way, is as certain as it was in Noah's day, because Jesus kept saying it, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. And you need to know that just as sure as he destroyed this world by water, he promises to destroy this world by fire. And he says, you need to get in the ark. There's a great place provided by the love and the shed blood of Christ. It's there, but you got to call people to get in it. And you can't just say, you know, Jesus loves you and it's all fine and I hope he improves your life. We got to bring the message. We have to tell them, if you're not trusting in Christ, there's a problem, a big problem. Barna just came out with a new report. Perhaps you read it this week. I mean, the headline on the report, you should read the details of it. It says millennials in our generation, almost 50% of them, close to half of them, believe it is wrong to evangelize. I just want you to think about that. These are Christian, evangelical, quote-unquote Christians who say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Almost half of them think it's wrong to try and tell someone, you need to do the same thing. You need to trust in Jesus. It's getting chilly out there because, you know, the biggest sin in our generation is I don't want to offend anybody, right? That's the big thing a lot of people are trying to avoid. I don't want anybody to feel bad about my beliefs, and I don't want to say that you're wrong and I'm right, and what kind of arrogant thing would that be? You know what? If the flood is coming and a barge is sitting out back, the ark is there, the door is open, and it hasn't closed yet, I'm not going to be quite as concerned about hurting your feelings as I am about being a messenger to save your life. The Lord's coming back. And it could be tonight. It could be next week. You know the story about Moody standing up in this town and saying to people, go home and think about it. And then the great Chicago fire broke out. You've heard that story. And Moody said, never again. Today is the day of salvation. And you need to get on the phone. You need to start texting. Even before this sermon is over, you text those people that you have neglected. You tell them tomorrow at work. You say, you need Christ. I know half of the younger generation says, I don't know, I don't want to do that, it might offend you. We speak the truth in love, but we've got to speak the truth. And I'm here to tell you, we're not speaking the truth clearly enough to our generation. We're picking and choosing what to share. We're taking the message and truncating it. We're editing it. We're paring it down so we can make it palatable to our generation. We got to share the whole truth, and it starts with this. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. Christ came to lovingly solve it. But it's going to involve rebuking people in their sin and reproving them in their transgression and exhorting them to cling to Christ. And the only way of salvation is in Jesus. Think about that. The exclusivity of the gospel. How many people today just don't want to say to their coworkers the very thing that Jesus said as clearly as you could say it? I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. And no one's going to come to the Father except through me. And I dare you, ambassador of Christ, to share that simple message with your coworkers. You're not alone in this, you know this. You're not alone in this. When you share the message of the gospel, to think of that
that word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that you are an ambassador. Here's what the next line says, as though God were making his appeal through you. You want to align yourself with God and his will? Start telling people. They need to get in the ark. Jesus is the only way out of this. It's not about temporary happiness. It's not about temporary satisfaction. It's not about you having a better life or more purpose or less loneliness. It's not about you getting the perfect spouse or having a great job or getting the great career. It is ultimately about if all those things went wrong at the end of your life, you walk across the threshold of this life into the next, and Jesus says, welcome into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's what we need to share, the message of the truth of the gospel. Don't edit it. Don't change it. This is not a salad bar. I like this, I don't like that. My friends will like that, they won't like this. I have a traditional mailbox at the end of my driveway. And I've seen my mailman come and put mail in my mailbox. And I like my mailman. You know why I like my mailman? Because he gives me all the mail. He doesn't sit at the end of the block and go, wow, this looks like a bill, you know, from, I don't know, Macy's. It looks probably high. Hold it up. I don't think Mike's going to like this one. I'll just keep that one in the truck. Oh, here's a letter. This one's good. I know this congregant really likes Pastor Miles. This is good. I'll give him that one. That'll make Mike feel better. Oh, there's that gal again writing Mike about his, I'm sure this is bad. She's a complainer. I don't think this will make Mike happy. Just put that one away. I like my mailman a lot. And you know why? Because he gives me the mail no matter whether it's good news or bad news. He just delivers the mail. I would hate to stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat Judgment and have him say, Mike, you know, you were really nice and really well-liked and people liked all the things you said. You were really affirming and encouraging and everyone felt better when they were around you, but I had a message to share and you sorted it out instead of just delivering it to them. And I'd hate to look across if I ever can. I don't know how this works. Can I see the Great White Throne Judgment? I don't know, but if I could, I would hate to have someone there turn and say, Mike, I knew you there on earth. Why is it that you just told me this and a little bit of that? You didn't bring the message of the gospel. You didn't plead with me as though God were making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God.
You're listening to Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point and a message titled The Inspired Word. Pastor Mike delivered this message at the Founders Week celebration of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And as Pastor Mike just said, there's a great temptation in our world to water down the gospel, to make it more palatable. But when we give in to that temptation, we're robbing those around us of the full truth and the opportunity to really know and experience God's love and forgiveness. That's why at Focal Point, we're committed to proclaiming the depths of Scripture without any revisions or sugarcoating. But we couldn't do it without you. If you believe in the importance of straightforward Bible teaching, will you join us by giving today? Call 888-320-5885. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you a book that's both entertaining and edifying. It's called Who is Jesus Really? It's a novella from renowned apologist and best-selling author Josh McDowell. The subtitle is A Dialogue on God, Man, and Grace. The book follows a group of college students who have to defend their faith to an atheistic professor. Although the story is fictional, the conversations mirror the real-life experiences of many believers. And as you read, you'll learn how to respond with grace and truth to the skeptics in your life. Ask for your copy of Who is Jesus Really? When you give by calling 888-320-5885 or go to focalpointradio.org. Would you rather automate your donation so you don't have to think about it every month? Well, join the team of Focal Point Partners. You'll be able to rest easy knowing your impact is multiplied throughout the year without you having to write a bunch of checks. And you'll get access to the exclusive Partner Connect videos from Pastor Mike. Sign up at focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm Dave Drewy. Tomorrow, Pastor Mike continues his message called The Inspired Word. So join us again Tuesday for Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.